Transmitting from South Central Texas since 2007, this is Anomaly. Talking about your favorite sci-fi fantasy topics, we're the halfway point between muggle and geek.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and I'll tell you who ate those school lunches. It was that damn Sasquatch, and I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen. I hold firm that Avatar was as overrated as waterbeds, peopling, Kim Kardashian, and the Academy Awards. And I am an anomaly.
Ooh, that's some sick burns. Welcome
How's
to the
that
podcast,
for shade?
People. Yeah, you were throwing some major shade over there. I just nothing Kim Kardashian. I just want to say that.
I nothing her too.
Avatar really is terrible. Like, it really is. There's a reason why we have never covered it, because we really don't care. We didn't forget about it. It was intentional. People don't cosplay Avatar. They don't have discussion rooms about it. You just never see anything about it unless you see something about a new movie being made. It's, I don't know.
Overrated.
It's so overrated, which is not what we're talking about today, but...
We're talking about underrated movies.
Underrated movies. Man, I could go on about how much I didn't like Avatar. We didn't necessarily intend this to be overrated sci-fi movies, but both of us picked sci-fi movies. Yours is a little less sci-fi in a way.
Are you kidding? It's very sci-fi.
Are you kidding?
It's set on a freaking spaceship going to a colony world.
But the story isn't about the ship. It's about the people in the ship.
Well, most of Star Trek is about the people on the ship.
I don't know. We'll get into it.
Okay.
I think it's a Nora Ephron film in space.
It is not. And if it was, it would be my favorite. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We're picking two main movies to talk about today, right? Because I think this could be a series, honestly. There's a lot of underrated sci-fi movies.
I think you're right. I'm not going to keep it to sci-fi because I think there's some other ones.
Right.
But it seems like sci-fi, one of my big points about Aeon Flux, which is the one I pick, it's underrated because it's a sci-fi film.
First of all, thank you to those people who filled out our survey that we posted on the Facebook group asking for your opinion on the most underrated sci-fi fantasy films. We don't know who these people are because it's anonymous, but we'll just list the ones they put out there. In fact, one of them is Passengers, which is one of the movies
really?
I'm going to be talking about. Yeah.
Awesome.
But Battle Beyond the Stars, 1980, Moon, 2009, and Europa Report, 2013 was a list that somebody posted. Titan AE, that's one. I kind of feel like Pitch Black straddles the line.
Okay.
And I've seen Pitch Black. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I didn't know it was underrated. I guess people don't think of it, you know, whenever they're listing their favorite movies. Okay, here's all the non-sci-fi ones I love, but I think are underrated. The Brothers Bloom, The Station Agent, A Pyromaniac's Love Story. I haven't heard of any of those, have you?
Mm-mm.
Thank you to you. And then Serenity.
Well, it's not underrated.
I think the fans loved it.
Yeah.
I think the critics and the general movie-going audience who weren't fans of Firefly
didn't get
know
it.
About it or
right.
didn't go see it. The Lost Continent, 1968.
Okay.
Solaris, 1972. I think I've heard of Solaris.
I think that there was a recent movie called Solaris, but I don't know if it's based on this or not.
That.
I mean, that's the one you're thinking of. I think Willow and then Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Passengers and Night of the Comet.
Hmm.
And then the last list is Contact 2, which I didn't know they made a sequel.
No, I think it's just Contact. And then
Two, it's a list.
The thing,
Contact.
Three,
you're
Dark
right.
Crystal.
I wonder if SurveyMonkey doesn't allow punctuation. I don't know.
You make the formatting, but it doesn't always stick to it. So
thank you, guys. I didn't know Dark Crystal was underrated. I thought that was a pop culture favorite.
It's a cult film. So I think that's what the deal is with Dark Crystal.
Well, let's get into it.
Why don't you go first?
So I picked Passengers to talk about, and it was released in 2016. The director was Morten Tildum, and he did The Imitation Game, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to mess up this guy's last name.
Spates?
John Spates. And he wrote Doctor Strange and Prometheus. Ooh. And it stars Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, Lawrence Fishburne, and Michael Sheen. The starship Avalon is on a 120-year voyage to a distant colony planet known as Homestead Colony. It's transporting 5,258 people when it's damaged in an asteroid field and begins to experience a cascade of errors. As a result, a single hibernation pod opens and Jim Preston, played by Chris Pratt, wakes, stranded alone on a ship, 90 years from his destination. He faces living the rest of his life on board with every luxury he could ask for, except life isn't worth living alone. I really liked this movie quite a bit. I was kind of shocked by all the negative reviews after I went to see it because I was like, did we see the same movie? Really? It's kind of like after we went to go see Solo, which is another underrated movie. Yes. And all the critics hated it and nobody went to see it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with these people? This movie is about the messiness of being human and going on to live the best life you can despite the hand you've been dealt. And it deals with loneliness, selfishness, love, hate, atonement, and forgiveness. If you were marooned on a desert island, would you wish someone onto the island with you? That's a question that Jim asks the android Arthur. I like my space and I'd love to be alone, but I don't know if I could live my entire life alone. Could you?
No.
I enjoyed the concept of, you know, them being intergalactic pioneers headed for a new start. And again, I'm dumbfounded by the negative reviews.
Give an example of the negative reviews.
Jim Morganson of the Wall Street Journal. The whole movie prompts a sense of wonderment at how boring, dumb, and vacant life is. And that's the first sentence. Peter Travers from Rolling Stone says, Lawrence and Pratt deserve better. So do audiences. Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post, she says, the most original and intriguing element of Passengers turns out to be its most troubling, which is how a passenger named Aurora, played by Jennifer Lawrence, comes to figure into the story. That's what they're dealing with, is that struggle and the mistake that was made. So, spoiler alert.
It came out in 2016, so it's 3 years old, so I think that you've had time to see it.
You have spoiler alerts for Star Trek The Next Generation, which is...
I think we need to do the spoiler alert, I'm just saying.
Get on that.
Well, I like Chris Pratt. And I like Jennifer Lawrence, so I don't know why I never saw this movie, but we just never happened upon it. It was gorgeous. I liked the concept. I didn't think it was as bad as the reviewers are saying. I also really liked how it kind of resolved. I liked the kind of sci-fi element of this big group of people being in stasis, you know, going to a new world. I like how it all came together and it was a beautiful film. I think I got torn when it came to how much the Jim character struggled with his decision. Mm-hmm. If he made the decision in a moment of weakness, I would have felt more for him. If there was some easy way to get her out, you know, he almost commits suicide and then he just right then pushes a button and runs away and is like, what did I do? You know, and it would even fit the theme and the one of the metaphors that Morpheus uses.
He Lawrence says, Fishburne.
His name's Morpheus, just in case you were wondering. One of the things he says is, well, he was drowning. And when someone's drowning, they pull, you know, and they even have her physically drown so that she understands. But the thing is when you're drowning, you are in a state of panic. And I feel like if there was some way for him to be in a state of panic officially when he did it, so he made the decision in a split second, they took so long with him dealing with it. And I think the writers were trying to say something like, he's a good guy. He's struggling with it because he's a good guy. The longer he struggled, the more it was a calculated decision. It was like less cool for him to do that to her. It made it hard for me to accept her decision at the end to not go into the medical pod. When she found out and her reaction was very acceptable, like I understand why she was upset.
Oh yeah, she tried to kill him with a crowbar.
She tried to kill him with a crowbar. I think he would have let her. Like,
yeah,
I
he
get
opened
it.
His arms like, go ahead.
Help us stay behind the mic and on the internet by doing one of the following. Tell your friends. Shouting about an episode on social media or sending a friend an email are great ways to share the love. But telling a friend isn't as easy as you might think, because a lot of people these days still don't know what a podcast is.
You may just have to grab your friend's phone, download a podcast app, and then subscribe them to Anomaly and all your other favorite podcasts. You can also help monetarily. Give $5, $10, or more dollars a month, and in return for your kind donation, you'll get the opportunity to be on a guest roundtable episode, and we'll also send you the full version of our original Anomaly intro, television segment, and outro. That's original Texas punk, y'all. It's a win-win. All you have to do is click on Donate at the top of our show notes or go to anomalypodcast.com and click on Donate at the top of the page. That's anomalypodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and supporting Anomaly. We love you people.
Please. I mean, I get it. Part of it, too, is that I adore Chris Pratt. His performance in this, while it was emotional, and I don't expect him to be Andy and Star-Lord in every single thing that he does, but there was a bit of that Chris Pratt magic missing from the character. I still enjoyed it. I understand why you enjoy it. And I probably would watch it again. Do you know what I mean about the struggle? If you're really hurting, just do it. The reason I can see from a writer's perspective was we want to show how he struggled with this. He's really such a good guy. But I feel like the more he struggled, the less of a good guy he was because he should have known better. Yes, he's lonely. He sees this girl and he feels like he might like her. So, you know, he decides to open her thing up. But, you know, wouldn't you look up everybody's training and skills? You have 90 years. Five people might sacrifice 10 years of that, you know, to fix the ship and to get everybody back in a pod. They have all this technology, but they did this one throwaway line that were like, well, should we wake up the crew? Oh, no, it'll take too long. Why didn't he wake up people that might help immediately? I started thinking too much.
That's, I think, the problem. I think that's the problem because he was kind of out of his mind. Yeah. Wandering the halls naked with like a castaway beard and look to him. The ship is basically the Titanic. Everyone thinks it's unsinkable. He's lived on this ship by himself for well over a year.
Yeah.
He almost committed suicide. His state of mind wasn't...
No, I'm talking about like right when he woke up. He knew a week in.
No, I mean after the whole year, because he was okay for a while.
And well, I know, but while he was okay, in that first few weeks, wouldn't you be like, okay, well, this is a problem that needs to be solved?
It was impossible for him to get into the crew to help them. You know, I think it's an interesting point that you bring up because after Gus, who is one of the crew members,
yeah, he's
like
a crew member,
first officer, maybe the ship woke him up.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong with him and he's dying. He gives them the wristband to do anything on the ship that they need to do. And they don't wake anyone else up. Both of them, mm-hmm. You know,
there's something about the pod that is like proprietary, too. So like that he was able to hack the system in several ways and he was able to wake her up. Maybe there's another engineer he can wake up. Maybe, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think several of those people would, okay, we will sacrifice 20 years of our life, 5 years of our lives to build one more pod or three more pods or to fix the pod. And this is another reason why I think it's more of a love story than it is a sci-fi movie.
There was a lot of blowback. The fact that Chris Pratt's character woke up Jennifer Lawrence's character. So she starts criticizing herself for playing the role. I'm disappointed in myself that I did not spot it, she said. I thought the script was beautiful. It was this tainted, complicated love story. It definitely wasn't a failure. I'm not embarrassed by it by any means. There was just stuff that I wished I'd look into deeper before jumping on. It's a problem because it's a guy who woke up a woman. That's the criticism. What if the roles were reversed and it was a woman who woke up a guy?
I think if anybody that woke up anybody, but the thing is that a dude that looks like Chris Pratt has physical power and also the way that he portrayed the character. And again, like it didn't have that Chris Pratt charm to it. One of the parts I thought that was interesting that I don't think they delved into as much, this idea that she was a journalist and a writer and that she had this idea of this about the corporation that like sent them there, what their motives might be, and then how he was basically a blue collar dude who basically sold his life to be able to get this opportunity.
He owed 30% of everything he made for the rest of his life to the company for going on this trip. And it reminded me a lot of Indentured Servants.
He didn't know that she was wealthy or whatever when he woke her up. So that was not one of the motives. But by waking up her, he had a specific idea in mind. And so it becomes very Phantom of the Opera. Think about that. She woke up alone with him. And at first she thinks that they are both victims of something together. But then when you find out that he did this to her, I mean, it is murder. She says it in the movie.
It is horrible that he did this. She had the appropriate reaction when she found out. If they didn't address her feelings about that, and it was just about her and him falling in love, the end, that would have been a shitty movie. But because she had the reaction that she did, mm-hmm. and they dealt with it, and she had the decision, you know, whether to forgive him, move on, and live the life that she has, or go back to sleep, she decides not to. She has the opportunity to do her best work ever. It's about her writing that story that she's been trying to find. The reason she left Earth was to find an adventure, and she was on it.
Yeah.
So the circumstances of how she came about it sucked.
Yeah.
I agree. But a lot of things that happen to us in life suck.
Mm-hmm.
And we can either deal with them and move on, or we can hate our lives.
I see that, I guess, because of the time, you know, it's the time involved. If he would have done it in a split second instant, I would have been a lot more forgiving of like the whole thing. If he would have been just as horrified when he opened up her pod.
He was. He ran off. He dropped off his tools and he ran off.
He ran off so that he could go pretend that he was surprised to see her. It was all calculated.
He was almost sick at what he had done when he dropped all of his tools and scrambled away whenever she woke up. They named her Aurora for a reason.
Yes,
Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. Yes. It's all contrived. It was very creepy, him watching her and stuff. I'm not going to lie. But anyway, I acknowledge that you have problems with it.
I do like some of it, though. And I do like the sci-fi elements. And I did like Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm glad that we got to see Lawrence Fishburne, because I really like him too. And Michael Sheen is so cool. And that was a good character. I'm surprised that he was like this small of a role, because he's like amazing. He's in a lot of really, really cool stuff.
Speaking of Arthur, I liked the contrast. They're living this raw emotion and he's just going through the motions of simply existing and not really living.
Yeah, I do like that. I do think that that's pretty interesting. And at the same time, you know, it's a movie and it was very well done. I thought the special effects were really good. And I thought there was going to be an outside something that attacked them, or I mean, I know at the very beginning
it was the asteroid.
There was an asteroid that hit, but I guess because of the way that the trailer was, I guess I thought there was going to be more of like some sort of outside threat. But pretty much everything was the ship was damaged, and then they had to fix it, and that was pretty much it. So I think in some ways I like that because it was a twist. As a sci-fi nerd, it's a twist I didn't expect. If there would have been some sort of outside thing, maybe I would have felt that they were both in trouble and it may have been more natural for them to get together. I don't know. I wanted to like it because I really wanted to be with you completely. I like it better than some of the reviewers, but I'm not as excited
about it. I thought their criticism was really harsh.
They're trying to sell papers too. So, you know, they're trying to get clicks on their website.
I only buy movies I love and I can rewatch. And this one is on a very short list of those films. It's worth watching. You don't have to love it as much as I do, but if Angela can enjoy it,
sure,
even with its problems that she says they have, I think you will too. I think Chris Pratt was charming. He wasn't himself, you know, the same person we see in other movies, but I laughed several times, you know, whenever he was doing his dance off with the hologram. And then, you know, when he puts the coat on and then he takes it off and he's just like, you got a coat, own it. And he goes out and it's on his shoulder. Those moments were the magic of Chris Pratt. And also the flowers he cuts for her and making the Empire State Building. Those were...
I do agree with that. I mean, I think that is kind of cool, but also that's kind of stalkery. Like, a stalker would do that. I'm sorry. I was going to give you the last word. Okay, so moving on to Aeon Flux.
Woo-hoo. Is it Aeon or Aeon? A-E-O-N.
You pronounce it Aeon, but it's A, it's an A-E. I can't remember what the letter's actually called, but it's like an A-E combination letter.
Uh-huh.
Aeon Flux. The movie was based on kind of an avant-garde sci-fi first generation liquid television from MTV. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And it was from kind of the mid-90s. Then in 2005, they made a live-action movie out of it, 10 years after the animated one appeared. The animated one was very famous for being super dark. It's set in the future. It's very sexualized, but the girl is sexualized in the way that she's drawn, but she's very tough. It's part of this government conspiracy, and she's in this gang of people, an assassins group called the Monikans. It's 400 years in the past, 2011. There's this horrible disease that wipes out like most of the population. This one guy comes up with a cure, and they sort of sequester the remaining humans in this one little city. 400 years later, the guy that came up with the cure, he has basically taken over the rest of the humans. And there's like, it's like a dictatorship. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on. People are disappearing, but they're kind of living in a dome because the rest of the world was deemed to be unlivable. So it's been 400 years. And then she's part of this group of assassins that wants to take down the government because it's this dictatorship, right? The movie has Charlize Theron, Frances McDormand. It also has a guy named Martin, I'm going to mess up his name, Martin Sekos, something like that. He's a New Zealand actor and he's been in so many things. So it's not short of people who are really cool and awesome. The special effects are pretty good. My thing I like about it, even though the character is sexualized, she's not as scantily clad in the movie as she is in the animated series. And there's one section where she like gets up from sleeping and she has like the signature outfit on where it's basically like Lilu from Fifth Element. But other than that, she wears basically like a catsuit most of the time. So it's more that assassin presence than any kind of something that's sexual. It's a cool story because they find out that all of them are basically clones. The cure that they came up with however many years ago caused infertility. And so they developed cloning, which I think is a cool twist in the story. You know, they came up with cloning. There's these two brothers that are like the main dictators, and one of them is trying to cure it. And unbeknownst to the other one, who's basically killing all of his subjects that he's been able to help get pregnant because he wants to live forever. He wants to keep the clones going. They basically find out the conspiracy and it's a whole thing. So let me tell you some things that people said about it. A slick looking action movie with too much exposition and a pretentious tone. Preposterous, pretentious, and surprisingly dull. The performances are plastic. A failure, even on the action-adventure, vicious butt-kicking level. Stodgy and listless, futuristic thriller that only ever echoes other cinema sci-fi tomorrows. Eek. Sadly, this is nothing like its animated counterpart. It's stupid, corny, and pretentious. People use the word pretentious a lot. I don't know that I would have
called it that.
It also had a 9%. I don't remember what Passengers was. I think it was a lot better than that.
Let me see.
Passengers has a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes and 41% on Metacritic.
IMDb gives it 7 out of 10, which I thought
was really
nice.
That's better than me. We got 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, which, you know, not terrible.
I think more real people are voting there.
Yeah, 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, good gosh.
And 36% on Metacritic. I mean, I get it. It's not perfect, but the action scenes are pretty good. And I think, you know, what I thought about while I was watching it that was kind of duh was we talk a lot about the amazingness of Captain Marvel because there's this female superhero. We've never had that before. There's not been a female lead that's a superhero. And it's like, yeah, there has been. Not that people didn't want to see it, but people weren't paying attention.
I don't think we've had one like Captain Marvel because we have
but first of all, we've had
Sydney Bristow and Alias.
We've had Buffy. We've had Xena. I mean, there's a lot of women. And so it's like, this is one of those other things where it's like, this is a big live action movie with a big star. I don't know how big of a star she was at this time, but I feel like she was already a pretty decent star.
Well, didn't she do Pulp Fiction?
No, that's Uma Thurman.
I'm sorry. Uma Thurman, Charlize Theron. Just
totally different.
I know.
Totally
I know.
Different. So yeah, Charlize Theron is like a very acclaimed actor. Now she plays like a very small character role, but still, my whole point is that no, it's not like super perfect cinema, but for 2005 especially, that was a pretty good action flick. I had a lot of fun watching it. Also, I sat here with my daughter and watched it, and it was fine. It's PG-13. And
for sequences of violence and sexual content.
For sequences of violence, the sex is they start making out and then the lights go down. The best part, though, I have to say, they get up from the kissing because, like, time passes, right? But, of course, she's not wearing any clothes. You just see her back. And so she's getting up and getting dressed, and Lorelai's like, why does she have no clothes on? And I said, well, she wanted to take a nap, and that outfit looks like it'd be very hard to nap in. And she's like, okay.
Makes sense.
I think it would be hard to nap in a leather cat
suit. Now, don't be surprised if she starts sleeping naked.
I don't care if my kids sleep naked.
I know. I'm just saying that might inspire.
But anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. But honestly, that, and then there's like one scene where somebody gets a bullet wound and you see like a little bit of blood. Otherwise, it's very cartoon action. And that's probably why, because I remember watching the MTV, the Liquid Television one, the animated, and it was actually more violent. It was purposefully very edgy. Mm-hmm. This was almost, it wasn't as edgy. It was PG-13. I think people who probably really liked the original didn't like it. And then people who don't really like sci-fi didn't like it. We forget that 2005, even though that feels like not that long ago to me, because that's when I got married. It doesn't seem like that long ago, but we hadn't had Iron Man yet. No Game of Thrones. We had just lost Buffy, basically, but no more Buffy. So there was kind of this dip in good sci-fi fantasy. There wasn't any Star Trek during that time. The last Star Wars had already been released, episode 3. So it's like we were in this sort of, you know, void. It was a weird void of these things and nobody really cared about. You know, the fans really didn't like it because it didn't match the TV, the animated show. And then everybody else didn't really care. So I think that's why. But I think it deserves a second look. It's actually kind of fun to watch and it's sort of a female kick-ass show. I wish you would have watched it so you can tell me how horrible it is.
I want to watch it. I do. Because it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. Why don't we ask people what they thought of these two movies?
Do you agree or disagree and why? I think Angela and I probably will do another one of these in the future.
Because I
know there are other movies the latest Star Trek movie that came out, we reviewed it and it was underrated.
The one with the new chick, we liked her. Also Solo.
Solo, yeah.
We very much like that. And I really like Suicide Squad. I think you did too.
It wasn't my favorite. Yeah, you liked it a lot. Too violent for me. I think I'm an old school Joker fan. I also love Jack Nicholson's portrayal of the Joker. So watching anyone else take on that role is hard for me to take.
But the Joker was like such a small part of it.
I know, but it's not like the brand of Joker I enjoy.
I get it. I actually kind of liked the over-the-top violence. It was like...
Which is weird because you will complain about that.
Well, but I like well-staged violence because I like Quentin Tarantino movies. Remember? I weirdly love Quentin Tarantino movies.
Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, I love Inglourious Basterds. That's such a great movie. I mean, it just is. I mean, who doesn't like killing Nazis? Jen. Really?
I haven't watched it. No. It's not my kind of movie, Angela.
Jen, don't you like killing Nazis?
I've never personally done it, but I'm pretty sure someone in my family has.
It's not a specific question. It's more of a general question. It's ultra-violence. It's like Clockwork Orange. It's ultra-violence.
I hate Clockwork Orange.
It is very disturbing.
It's super disturbing.
It's supposed to be disturbing.
I know, but so is Passengers. They're on two different levels of disturbing.
Not in the same way.
And also, didn't you have problems like I do with rapiness in movies?
Oh, I totally do.
And Clockwork Orange is like that. It's just
it's super
gang rapey.
It's really terrible. It's really terrible. And those are not my favorite parts of the movie. And I don't like sit around and watch that movie like every day. But I've seen it.
Once is enough for me.
I've seen it twice. And I appreciate it. See, that's the thing with me. And it's like the Quentin Tarantino movies. It's this interesting style to the violence that's interesting to me. I think just plain gore, I don't like. Plain violence, I don't like. Terror for terror's sake, jump scares, all of those types of movies, I'm not a fan. But I don't know, there's something about a Nazi getting a swastika carved into his head that is satisfying. Agree to disagree. And Brad Pitt as the guy from Tennessee is just so funny. It's so good, Jen. Okay, sorry. I love it. I'll never make you watch it if you don't want
Thank
to.
Because
it is very violent. So I get it.
Well, I think that wraps up our main topic. Should we move on to listener mail?
Yes.
We did get some comments in our survey that we sent out. We wanted to get an idea of what other episodes you want us to cover, or movies or topics.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some pretty good feedback. People are asking best child actor in sci-fi, which I think would be interesting because you have comments about child actors.
I do.
You do not like the Alexander guy.
I really don't.
Don't.
I think there were a couple of them.
Star Trek The Next Generation. Silliest characters, comics versus fan fiction. But we've explained that we don't read comics. So I don't know. We'd have to bring a guest on, I think.
That'd be okay. We could
do
that.
Fantasy universe or hard sci-fi movies.
Interesting.
What's the latest or interesting or cool gadgets, toys, Ooh. Books, games, real science? We're talking about doing a real science episode about time travel and the fiction that comes close to the current theories on whether or not that's
also
possible.
The black hole.
Yes,
but
black
the
holes.
Black hole that they just took a picture of the black
yes.
hole. So we should talk about that too, because that's
yeah.
so cool.
I like that idea. Of all the ones suggested so far, real science and how
yep.
it figures into fiction is interesting to me. A couple of weeks ago, we missed out
yes.
on the first all-women spacewalk because they didn't bring a suit to fit one of the female astronauts. How could that happen?
That's some bad planning. So ridiculous.
Was that NASA?
Yes. Well, I mean, I get why. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to get things up to the space station. And they brought suits to fit the percentage of people on board. And because there's more men than women, they had that percentage of suits, which mm-hmm. is not very many. And so, I mean, mathematically it works, but then they should have stopped their PR team from talking about it.
Yes. Shh. Angel knows about PR.
I do.
Okay, and then they go on to say, I also happen to like it when Anomaly talks about the snippets of your lives. A quick catch-up
Aww.
Makes you relatable.
Cool.
We do that Hi. A lot.
Hi, sweetie. Speaking of, Lorelai just came in.
Oh.
Keep going.
Hey, Lorelai.
She waved.
My buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Honestly, I just like hearing folks talk about the things they like or their point of view. I feel like the more folks talk about what they like and dislike about things, it gives me a better lens to look through stuff. I want to say this is from Rico because he says folks.
Does he?
That's his go-to
word. That
doesn't
sound like a... I don't know. That just doesn't sound like a Michigan thing.
You got to tell me if I'm right.
All right.
Okay. And then someone says they want to hear us talk about geeky, religious, irreligious, political, some sports, poetry readings.
I could talk sports. Spurs are playing tonight.
Ted, Whoop. Anything where I either know or feel like I kind of know the hosts. And then people are commenting on our last episode that we covered Captain Marvel. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen. Lisa from our Facebook group says, I finally got a chance to listen to your Captain Marvel review. Great show. As a reader of Captain Marvel comics, I think they did a solid job of building her character in the movie. A lot of her comics have been less than great. So glad to see she's finally getting fleshed out a bit more. FYI, she did take on the Captain Marvel name from her male Kree mentor, Mar-Vell, in the comics when he died.
Ooh.
He was basically the Annette Bening character from the movie. If anyone wants to check out any of the comics, Higher, Further, Faster, More is one of the best and most fun and available to read free with Amazon Prime. The sequel, Stay Fly, is also good. These two have the Flerkin storyline.
Flerkin!
Chewie in the comics. And Rocket Raccoon. They are by Kelly Sue DeKornick, who had a cameo in the movie at the train station. Interesting.
Cool.
Thank you, Lisa.
That's awesome.
And then Rico
said... I like
said,
a little bit of trivia, too.
Yes, because we got schooled by Rico, which I'll read in
yes,
a minute.
Yes,
because we just both admitted we don't know much about the comics. So
we said that at the beginning
yeah,
of the episode.
Feel free to write in cool. and let us know, because we'll read it so that all of our listeners will know.
That's fine.
So Rico says, fun show, Jen and Angela. Oh, the Shazam character is DC Comics, and he is also known as Captain Marvel, but no relation to Marvel's Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's not confusing.
He goes, yeah, I know. And he says, comic nerd voice off.
I love it.
Thank you very much for writing in. If you would like to send us your thoughts, you could call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742 or write to us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z. not an S, at gmail.com. And we'd love for you to record a memo on your smart device and email that to us at that address. Or you can comment in the show notes at anomalypodcast.com. Make sure you visit those, because that's where we will put in extras like links that we've mentioned, related episodes, videos sometimes, pictures of what we're talking about. And you can find that at anomalypodcast.com, anomalypodcast.com. And also at anomalypodcast.com, you can read more about us. You can find the links to all of our social circles and contact us, and also donate to our show, because we are able to make this show because we have really cool people who donate monthly and help us pay for things like hosting and all the things like equipment and things like that that we need. It's kind of an expensive hobby, isn't it?
It really is.
It's an expensive hobby. And yep. Everybody wants us to make more episodes. Angela, wouldn't you love to make more episodes?
I would love to make more episodes.
Me too. But we need help. We need someone to help us edit the show. We could record a block of episodes and pass it off to somebody to edit for us. But we have
that
to
would
pay.
Be super.
We have to pay
super,
those.
Super, super.
We have to pay those people. So if you can help, please go to our website, and we would appreciate a monthly donation. That would be awesome.
Thank you.
I think that's it for today. What are we doing next?
Well, the very next episode is going to be about the finale of Discovery, which we're missing tonight.
Yep.
We're missing right now. I'm sure we'll watch it tonight or tomorrow. And so we're going to try to stay away from spoilers on that. And then next month, we're going to start covering time travel. I'm super excited.
I'm excited about that too. Please, if you were watching Discovery and you have comments, hey, send them in to us and we'll fit them in our episode.
I just realized that time travel and the end of Discovery totally go together.
You are right. Is that a spoiler?
No.
No? Okay.
Because it's been in the whole season.
You're right.
I mean, they've been talking about it in the whole season. I mean, yeah, there's time travel in Star Trek. People know that, right?
The slingshot around the sun that Kirk did once, right?
I do have to say that that part of Passengers was cool. When
Wasn't
they went around
though?
Arcturus.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool. I have to say, I do like that they did incorporate, you know, even the design of the ship had a cool kind of very realistic-ish sci-fi vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I did like that.
I really enjoyed all of the technology on the ship. I thought it was,
yeah,
was
me
awesome.
Too. That's what we're going to talk about. Yay!
Thanks again for joining us. If you like the show, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to share the show with your friends. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to Anomaly, the halfway point between Muggle and Geek.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know if we have any outtakes for this one. Say something funny. Hurry.
What?
I don't think we have any funny outtakes for this one. Hurry, say something funny.
I think the naked story about about Eon Flux is pretty funny.
Yeah, that one's funny.
That's pretty funny.
Okay, we'll use that one.
Use that one. I think that was pretty funny.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this one. Whoa, you're still listening? You are hardcore. Thanks for sticking around. If you're a regular listener of Anomaly, hopefully that's because you're a subscriber, because we have new transmissions of our show drop by weekly. You don't want to miss an episode, do you? Do you? Do you? If you're new, we're glad you found us. And Angela and I hope that you subscribe to the show for free, too. One way you can find us is by searching for Anomaly Podcast, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. Use both words, because there are a lot of shows called Anomaly these days. And for the record, we were first. Look for the hosts, Jen and Angela. I'm Jen, by the way. One of the easiest places to find us is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. But you can also go over to anomalypodcast.com and click on subscribe now at the top of the homepage. That's anomalypodcast.com. One thing you're going to learn by listening to our show is how to spell Anomaly, because we spell it all the time. You can find every single episode of our podcast over on our website, including the ones that we've archived that aren't currently in our feed. And in the meantime, between those releases, we are very active on Facebook. You can find a link to our Facebook group on our contact page at anomalypodcast.com, or do a Google search, once again, for Anomaly Podcast Facebook group. We recommend that you visit the show notes for this transmission because you can get the links to all the things we've talked about, like books, articles, videos, photos, other podcasts, and related Anomaly episodes. That's the place to go deeper with any information you've heard today. It also happens to be a place where you can leave a comment, ask a question, donate to the show, and find our social media circles. And you can get there on our website at anomalypodcast.com. A-N-O, say it with me, people, M-A-L-Y-podcast.com. Just look for the show notes tab on the homepage, click it, and then find the episode you just listened to. Tell us how you found us and where you're listening from. You can email a note or send us a voice memo recorded on your smart device to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z, not an S, @gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742. Check out our friends' shows, Treks in Sci-Fi with Rico Dosti. He covers Star Trek and pretty much anything else sci-fi and fantasy. You know, you should also try Waffle On podcasts. Meds and Kel like to cover pop culture, television, and film from the U.S. and Great Britain. Then there's the other show I do, the Star Wars Stacks. It's a show that I co-host with my good friends Chris and Joe. We cover Star Wars books from the old EU as well as the new canon. We also report on Star Wars movies and television shows, and soon we'll be playing a tabletop Star Wars RPG game on the show. These shows are all available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio, among others. Hey, side note, if you're into gardening, I'm in the initial planning stage for a gardening podcast. Write to me if you're interested, and I will keep you updated on when I'm launching. You can reach me at girlygeeks@gmail.com. Again, that's girlygeeks with a Z, not an S, @gmail.com. One more side note, if you're interested in starting your own show, Angela and I are very supportive of the podcast community, and I'd be very happy to give you any advice you might want. Maybe I can help you avoid some of the mistakes I've made in the past. P.S. I'm also a professional graphic designer and have been for 20 years. If you're in need of any sort of marketing, branding material, or whatever, maybe you're starting a podcast and you need a graphic. Go check out my design portfolio over at creativehero.net because Calm was taken and dang it. I'm also a trained voiceover talent. If you need voice work, shoot me an email there too. Oh my gosh, you're still here. You are an overachiever, my friend. Are you Ravenclaw? Virtual fist bump. You know what? You've entered the bonus round and you deserve some outtakes. Enjoy. Look for the
radio. Let's do this.
All right. Pull up my page here. Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
I can.
Okay. Let me make sure my mic is being quiet and I can shut my door. All right. I'm ready.
Hold on. Hold on just a second. I want to make sure that I have a good synopsis here and I can do a couple takes.
Oh, sure. If you need more time, go ahead.
It's okay. Let's go ahead and start because we already started talking. And
yeah.
I think if we need to capture what we capture.
Yeah.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela and I'll tell you who ate those school lunches. It was that damn Sasquatch and I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen. I hold firm that Avatar was as overrated as waterbeds, peopling, Kim Dark Car. Wah. Sorry.
Already?
I started spitting all over the place and I'm.
You really meant it.
Blah, blah, blah,
Kim
like
Kardashian
Daffy,
really
Daffy
made you Duff. That mad.
Kim Kardashian.
Kardashian.
Okay, here we go.
You want me to start again?
No. I'll just cut mine in.
Okay.
I'm Jen. I hold firm that Avatar was as overrated as waterbeds, peopling, Kim Kardashian, and the Academy Awards. And I am an anomaly.
Ooh, that's some sick burns.
My husband does that. I'm getting old.
My husband did that 20 years ago.
I wake up at 5.
Me too.
And sometimes 6, but the alarm doesn't wake me up. It's the dog. She barks at midnight. We let her out to go to the bathroom. And of course, terrible. She has to make her rounds. And then she barks to be let back in. But now she's getting old and deaf. And so she has to be let out twice in the evening.
Oh,
I mean, so
thing.
In the middle of the like early morning hours, I have to, David or I have to get up again and let her out again. I'm like, ugh. So I was so tired because of all that. But anyway, I promise I want to watch it now just so that I can comment in the next episode of what I thought
yeah,
about
that,
it.
That's okay.